You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It is time to get up with giant questions. Daniel Jones is already taking big hits. Is this a sign of things to come in New York? Plus, who was calling the plays in Foxborough last night? Maybe the better question is, who wasn't calling the plays in Foxborough last night? Bill Belichick weighs in on his master plan. And Deshaun Watson's debut could be hours away. Is Cleveland making a mistake starting him tonight in Jacksonville? Will the league even let them do it? We have lots of football to talk about on this Friday morning. I am Dan Graziano in for Greeny. Look who we have in studio this morning. Jeremy Fowler is here. Mike Tannenbaum is here. And that is not all. We have Tim Hasselbeck and Chris Canty joining us as well. And we start with the preseason football, real live football action. Patriots hosting the Giants in their first preseason game of the year. Mac Jones did not play in this one. Daniel Jones for the Giants did on the first possession. Giants at the Patriots 41. Jones completes it to Colin Johnson for the first down. That's a 17-yard completion. Later in the drive, third and five, Giants at the Patriots 19. Jones is going to find Saquon Barkley on the right side for another first down. Look at this great pitch and catch here. Jones to Saquon. It's like Gettleman dreamed of. Later in the drive, third and five again. Giants at the Patriots 7. Jones throws a pass to Kenny Golladay, but he drops it. Jones got hit hard on the play, and the Giants settled for a field goal. They're up 3-0. Next drive, Jones fakes the handoff. Josh Uche did not buy the fake. He sacks Daniel Jones, one of several hits Jones took in the game. He was 6 for 10, 69 yards, no picks, no touchdowns. Giants won 23-21. Nobody cares about that. Chris Canty, what you do care about is what? Jones getting hit, right?
Absolutely, Dan. I mean, you're talking about the Giants making significant investments along the offensive line and the defensive line over the past several years in the NFL draft, and they're not getting the return on the investment on that offensive line. Look at Andrew Thomas. He's a top five pick. You look at Evan Neal. He went seventh overall this year. That group has got to be a lot better if the Giants are going to get the best that Daniel Jones has to offer. Last night, he took three big shots, one from Mack Wilson, one from Jennings, and one from Josh Uche. That can't happen. You're looking for a clean operation in your first preseason game, and a part of that is keeping your quarterback upright.
That's a really good point by Chris, Dan. When you look at it, and you just look at that graphic right there in terms of quarterbacks and how they've been hit, and you look at the group that Daniel Jones is in, just think about it. Lamar Jackson is a different type of quarterback. They run him a bunch. Josh Allen gets, you know, they run him quite a bit. Carson Wentz has been known to hold on to the football for too long. The fact that Daniel Jones is even in this category, I think it should be something that's alarming for the Giants.
I would think so. No question about it. Mike, what was your takeaway from that game?
Saquon Barkley, his touches, not only just rushing, but receiving. We saw him convert that first down. If you look at the history of Brian Daboll as a play caller, he likes to get the running backs involved in the passing game. He looked quick. He looked explosive. And from a fantasy football standpoint, I think he's going to be really productive in the passing game. We're seeing this first down here. And to Tim's point, another way to keep Daniel Jones healthy, get the ball out of the quarterback's hands, get his Saquon Barkley in space.
That would be a way. The problem is Saquon hasn't been able to keep himself healthy, right, during his short career so far. Jeremy, what are you hearing about him?
Yeah, he's a player that people around the league are watching very closely because execs remind me, like, this guy's supposed to be a superstar, and he's been hurt. And when he's on the field, he hasn't been particularly great. He bounces around when he should just hit holes. They feel like this is a huge showcase for him. They reminded, hey, look, he was in trade rumors not too long ago for a guy of his talent. Huge year going into free agency next year. He could be a major player.
Yeah, number two overall pick in the draft back, 4 years ago. So there were high hopes for Saquon. Hasn't materialized. Not too late. He's in his final year of his contract. So is Daniel Jones. Big year for a lot of people over there in East Rutherford. The other team that was on the field last night was the New England Patriots, and Matt Patricia and Joe Judge split the offensive play calling duties for New England. That added a new wrinkle to what's been a hot-button topic surrounding the team. After the game, Bill Belichick was asked about the benefit of using multiple play callers, and he offered a thorough and detailed explanation. I'm kidding.
I thought it would be a good opportunity for us to do that.
Do you know if one will call plays when the regular season arrives?
Yeah, well, don't worry about that. We'll work it out.
So have you decided?
We're going through a process, just like everything else on this team.
So full clarity.
Don't worry about it, Tim, right? I mean, we should just move along. There's no issue here. What do you think about that situation in New England?
Listen, I think it's should be concerning. I think we would be concerned, if it were, any other team, quite honestly, than New England. I think that New England gets the benefit of the doubt. The reality is that you can talk to any quarterback that's played and had success for a long duration in the National Football League. There's usually a rapport with the play caller. And so I'm not saying that you can't have it with more than one guy, but it has to be developed. And I think it's hard when you have two guys trying to do it at the same time, especially when both of those coaches don't have experience doing it. So, look, it doesn't mean it won't work, but I would say that it's unlikely to work. And I think that it's a challenge that Mac Jones will end up being faced with that, quite honestly, yeah, other quarterbacks don't have to deal with. So we talk all the time about, like, a quarterback who, has to learn a new offense because they fire the offensive coordinator, and then a new guy comes in, and then a new guy comes in. It's difficult to have success that way. You want to see the game the same way that the play caller sees the game. And when you have two different play callers, I don't know how you do that.
All right, but devil's advocate here. Like, the odds are pretty good, Mike T, that they will not have two different play callers once the games start to count, right? I mean, these are practice games. How does this actually work?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And Bill Belichick has developed coaches for 20 years and personnel people. I was one of them. I saw him take Eric Mangini from the PR department to be a three-time defensive coordinator of a Super Bowl team. And the way you do that is you give coaches opportunities in preseason games. By opening day, which is still a month away, this will all be worked out, but he's giving his coaches opportunities to be developed. This is the time. This is the place to do it. I understand Tim's point. Quarterbacks are sensitive. If things aren't perfect, we get that. But with that said, this is training camp. This is preseason. They will be a well-oiled machine by opening day. Joe Judge will handle passing concepts. Matt Patricia will handle the run game, and it will all work out. But Bill Belichick, of all his greatness, one of the things he's very underrated is all the great coaches he's developed over the years.
Yeah, Canty, what are your thoughts here on what's going on in New England and or the sensitivity of quarterbacks in general?
I give Bill Belichick the benefit of the doubt, guys, because you're talking about a coach that's been a part of the National Football League since the 1970s. His career as a coach in the league has spanned 5 decades. This guy has more answers than anybody else in terms of what it takes to be a successful coach, what it takes to be a successful player. That's why I give him the benefit of the doubt. But the one thing that does strike me as odd is him not playing his starters in the preseason game one. Like, that's not something that we're used to seeing. I remember once upon a time when the Patriots were consistently going to AFC Championship games, Super Bowls. He had Tom Brady playing in the 4th preseason game. And Mike Tannenbaum will tell you, Tim Hasselbeck will tell you, you don't play anybody in the 4th preseason games. But Tom Brady was playing in the 4th preseason game. Belichick usually has his guys out there getting the reps. It's a little bit curious as to why he's taking a different approach with this training camp and with this team.
Jeremy, what are you hearing out of New England?
Yeah, so I've been checking in on this, and I was told from some people over there that, like, short term, there are going to be some growing pains because they're trying to streamline the offense. They're segueing from Josh McDaniels and his heavy influence on the language of the play calls and all that stuff to an entirely new process. There are different iterations of this Bill Belichick system over, like, 2 decades. So short term, going to be a bit of an issue. Long term, they think it's going to actually be an easier offense to work with. But the thing is, when you talk to people league-wide, they're kind of like, good luck, Mac Jones. Like, this is maybe not the best for a second-year quarterback.
Yeah, obviously it's something people are watching closely. We'll continue to watch it throughout the preseason. But that was not the only preseason football game last night. The Baltimore Ravens were hosting the Tennessee Titans in the other one. No Lamar Jackson in this game, but Malik Willis did play for the Tennessee Titans. Tim Hasselbeck, what did you see from the rookie?
Well, I saw elite running ability, which is what we saw in college. Just a rollout to the right. He just takes it on his own the other way for the score. And you kind of knew that type of stuff would happen for him in the preseason.
A couple minutes later, Willis drops back and shows off the big arm with a 48-yard completion. to Racy McMath. First down for the Titans as they continue to drive. Same drive and a couple plays later, Willis feeling the pressure. Check out this sidearm throw to Tommy Hudson. What did you think, Tim?
Yeah, it's impressive. The big throw down the field was impressive, as was this. Just, you know, finding ways to get the ball out to the tight end. You know, things like that are going to make people say, wow, you know, and see the potential in Malik Willis.
Strong first showing for Willis. Ravens down 10-7 later in the half. Tyler Huntley to Shamar Bridges for the touchdown. Ravens won this game 23-10. They have now won 21 straight preseason games. They wish every game was a preseason game because that is the longest preseason win streak in NFL history. They have not lost a preseason game since 2015. They'll try and keep that streak going next week in Arizona. And I think it means something to them. They actually will try and keep that streak going. But listen, that's not the story. The story around the Ravens is about Lamar Jackson, who did not play in the game last night, but will, of course, be their starter again this year. And we've been talking throughout the offseason. He still does not have that contract extension, entering the final year of his contract. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, Dan, the people I'm talking to believe that this very well might not get done by week one because there's a gap in the pay of, like, guaranteed money and the structure of a contract. Lamar Jackson wants very strong guarantees, and he's got the blueprint with Deshaun Watson and the fully guaranteed deal that he got, $230 million. So if it's anything close to that, which I believe that it is, it's going to be an issue for Baltimore to get there. Now, I did hear the Ravens have made a push in recent weeks. After Kyler Murray's deal got done, which sort of reignited the quarterback market, the Ravens have put forth some of their best efforts to try to get this done. So maybe they can get it to the finish line.
How important is it for them to get this done before the season?
Hugely consequential. When your franchise quarterback is going to the last year of his contract, it could destabilize the whole organization because every day, whether John Harbaugh likes it or not, they're going to ask him about Lamar Jackson's contract. All the players are going to be asked. So the best way to solidify your future is to identify a great young quarterback, select them, which they have done. Now get them under contract for years to come.
All right. More quarterback talk, much more quarterback talk on Get Up this morning as we roll along. We come back. Deshaun Watson's Cleveland debut could be just hours away, but are the Browns making a mistake by starting him tonight in Jacksonville? And will they even be allowed to do it? Plus, does Patrick have problems without Tyreek Hill? Will the Chiefs' run of dominance of the AFC come to an end? We will discuss when we come back.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Back on Get Up, a developing story. Deshaun Watson is set to start at quarterback for the Cleveland Browns tonight against the Jaguars in their first preseason game of the year. Watson has not played an NFL game in 586 days, and he is currently awaiting the results of the NFL's appeal of his 6-game suspension for violating the personal conduct policy. So, Jeremy, what is the very, very latest on this situation?
Dan, I've been checking on this. The Browns are on high alert right now. There's some urgency here because they were loosely expecting a decision on that appeal by the end of this week, but they also got a game tonight. So there is a potential situation where if the appeal ruling says Watson's out for the full year, then they would have to maybe take him off the team bus or off the sideline because, you know, he would be ineligible for the preseason right at that point, too. And so they are simply just waiting. They're hoping for the best. And, you know, Watson, I'm told, is open to a hefty fine here if it gets him on the field sooner. His goal is clear: play at some point this year, 2022.
So you mentioned he's open to a fine. I remember there were settlement discussions before the first arbitrator ruled. To your knowledge, have those advanced at all since?
I don't think so, because everybody's waiting on this ruling. You know, I was told the league has made multiple proposals over the last, you know, for a few weeks or months. Maybe not in the short term, but you never know. They could perk up at any time. Like,
sure.
Roger Goodell could call the players' union, and they could try to work something out right now.
So it's still possible, but at the present time, what it is we're all waiting for the arbitrator's ruling. So, Tim, let's imagine that that doesn't come down or that he does get on the field tonight. What would you be looking to see from Deshaun Watson in this game?
Well, I think that it's actually important for him to get on the field. Dan, you referenced the time away, you know, from playing because of what happened last year. And so, look, I don't think that we would see anything, you know, earth-shattering. I just think it's good for a quarterback to be in an environment where things are live, where you can be hit, where the speed of the game matters in terms of how the ball has to come out quickly with people coming after you. And so it's not something that you can really simulate in practice. You try, but you can't. And so I think that's why it is, in fact, important, you know, for him to get some reps during the preseason.
Canty, what do you think?
No, I co-sign everything that Tim says. Getting acclimated to the speed of the game matters. And then being able to adjust to doing football movements under duress, because Deshaun Watson hasn't done that for a calendar year. So all of those things are going to be important. The other thing that I'm going to be looking for tonight's game, if Deshaun plays, is how does he fit in Kevin Stefanski's system? You think back to when he was with the Houston Texans under Bill O'Brien. That was more of a spread offense. Everything out of the shotgun in 2020. 82% of his snaps were out of the gun. Well, in Stefanski's system, this is more of a true West Coast offense, under center, inside, outside, zone running game, married with boots and waggles in the passing game. So Deshaun Watson seems like he's an ideal fit because of his skill set, but it's actually something that we've never seen from Deshaun at the NFL level. So I'm curious as to what that's going to look like, and tonight will give us some insight toward that.
This is tricky, right, Mike? Because they have to get him ready, but they don't know for exactly when.
Yeah, and to take that a step further, Dan, this is highly unusual. You have four quarterbacks that you have to address here. Jacoby Brissett is your presumptive opening day starter. He needs all the reps with the ones as well. And then literally they are one hit away from either Josh Rosen or Josh Dobbs playing for a really good Cleveland Brown football team. So there's a competition between those two quarterbacks. So I agree with Tim. Deshaun Watson needs to play. He has to get the rust off because he's going to play at some point. So in a preseason where oftentimes things are meaningless, they have four quarterbacks that they have to address.
Yeah, we'll have much more on this later in the show, including a report from our Jake Trotter in Cleveland covering the Browns. I guess he's probably in Jacksonville. I don't know where Jake is, but he's going to join us and talk about the Browns. Meantime, we're going to do some QB quick reads with Tim Hasselbeck. And Tim, start us off with Trevor Lawrence, who'll be on the field tonight against the Browns. What are you looking to see from him?
Yeah, and I'm eager to see him. Look, I think he's going to make the biggest jump out of the second-year quarterbacks. And what I want to see from him is just quicker decisions, no bad decisions. You know, I think we saw too many of those from Trevor a year ago. And so, you know, and he's going to be playing in a new offense. So I would expect to see some of that from him. It's what I would like to see from him, and would be surprised, quite honestly, if we don't. Because I think the coaching around him is significantly better. And then when you look at a guy like Trey Lance, you talk about being excited about seeing somebody play. We referenced Deshaun not playing in a while. Trey Lance has not played much football. The thing I'm looking for, Dan, I just want to see him play. I don't care about bad decisions. I don't care about mistakes. The reality is he's going to make them. He's a young player with very little experience as a quarterback at the college or pro level. And so with that, I think he needs to play. I think you need to play him as much as you possibly can. And then I think for Zach Wilson, it's a little bit different, more in line with how I feel about Trey Lance. I think the ball needs to come out quicker after seeing him play a year ago. Not holding the football, leading the bad plays is something that I think he needs to do a much better job of. And then I think the other thing he can do with playing on time is that helps the guys around him. We know about some of the issues they're dealing with on the offensive line. You can clean that up as a quarterback, playing with great anticipation. And I think making the guys around you is really the best thing you can do as a quarterback.
Yeah, fascinating. Several fascinating second-year quarterback situations as we head into this NFL season. Meanwhile, we're going to do some baseball. They played baseball in an Iowa cornfield last night. Major league teams did. That was the Cubs and the Reds. The second MLB Field of Dreams game in Dyersville, Iowa. Ken Griffey Jr. and Ken Griffey Sr. come walking out of the corn before the game. They're going to have a catch in the outfield. If you haven't seen the movie, you don't get this, but you probably should go see it. Then the players come out of the corn and onto the field. It was quite a moment for fans of the film, and it's great, it looks great on television. Top of the first, Cubs up 2-0. Ian Happ is at the plate with a runner on second. He rips this one into the gap in left center. Nico Horner scores. Happ has an RBI double. Cubs up 3-0. Bottom of the seventh, Reds now trailing 4-2. Joey Votto at the plate with a runner on second, looking to close the gap. Brandon Hughes strikes out Votto, ends the threat. Cubs hold on to win the second MLB Field of Dreams game, 4-2 over Cincinnati. We have five, count them, five Little League Regional Championship games today with a trip to the World Series in Williamsport on the line. We'll start with these three. Missouri taking on Iowa in the Midwest at 1 Eastern. Then it's Pennsylvania and Delaware in the Mid-Atlantic Regional, and Utah and Nevada square off in the Mountain. All three games are on ESPN and the app. Coming up on Get Up, more quarterback talk. Tampa Tom's time off. How will it affect the Bucs offense? We'll show you why it could be a long September for Brady and the Bucs. Plus, does Patrick have some problems without Tyreek Hill? Will the Chiefs' run of dominance in the AFC come to an end? We will talk about it next.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This is what we do.
Promise, no matter what happens, you stick together.
How about the brother? Turn that death through, brother!
Go out here and take something that belongs to you. That's what you do. You're going to take what belongs to you.
All right, it's coming. Anyway, to Tampa, where Tom Brady will be away from the Buccaneers for a period of time to, quote, deal with some personal things. Head coach Todd Bowles said Brady will return after next week's preseason game against the Tennessee Titans on August 20th. Here's Bowles with more from yesterday.
And it's something he needs to handle. We trust him. We talked about it. It was scheduled way before training camp, and he will not be here until after Tennessee. he didn't have the years and the experience that the guy has and comes in and works diligently, I would definitely be concerned. It's a personal issue, and that's all I can tell you.
Huh. What we got?
All I know is that the people I've talked to over there are not overly concerned. They reminded me that if this was the starting guard or the starting cornerback, then nobody would care, but it's Tom Brady. Yeah. Gets magnified, and it's Tom Brady. He can kind of do what he wants. And so we still don't know exactly the situation. That's the problem. Really, the only concern I sense is the timing with his receivers, Julio Jones, Kyle Rudolph. He's got a lot of new pieces, but I'm told that's already gone really well the first few weeks, so no major issue.
And look, I do want to say this. Like, I don't want to be making light of a situation. Hopefully this is not a serious situation. Hopefully there's not any kind of health or family situation that's bad. Obviously, we wish Tom Brady the best. But let's look at this, Tim Hasselbeck, from a preparation for the season standpoint, right? The starting quarterback is now going to disappear for 2 weeks in the middle of training camp. Is there any chance this has any impact on the way they're prepping for the season?
Oh, there's definitely a chance that it affects their preparation. Look, you're removing, the greatest quarterback of all time from being around his teammates. There's obviously a lot that people can learn just from being around Brady in a practice environment. Now, get to the question of, like, will he be ready? Like, Tom Brady's going to be fine. I don't think Brady missing this time is an issue whatsoever for how he will play. I think the concern you would have is that the opportunity for players that haven't been around him to be around him and get a sense of, like, what to expect. You know, when to expect the ball. When to shorten your route. When to, be looking for the ball quicker because of pressure's coming. Things like that I think just being around Brady would help the other players do. So, to me, I don't think it's a real big deal. I think it is kind of just an unfortunate situation for the guys that haven't been able to be around him. But ultimately, I think Tampa's fine for it.
But we talk about all the time about how small the margins are in this league. And if you saw that graphic that was just up, I wanted to mention this. Their first four games, the Buccaneers need to hit the ground running this season. These first four games are no joke, and you start to fall behind in your division. Mike's waving at me like I'm supposed to not care about this. What do you got?
Yeah, exactly. He's probably worrying more about Dallas in week one. He wasn't going to play in the next couple weeks. This happens more than you think. Now, obviously not 10 days off. That's a long period of time, but veterans leave training camp all the time. You handle it proactively, and from a Tampa standpoint, you want to see what you have in Kyle Trask. You give him more opportunities now. And the way technology is now with Zoom, he may be in meetings that we don't even know about. So is it ideal? No, but this really is not a big deal.
Canty, what do you think? Are you as worried? I mean, I'm the only one up here who thinks this is potentially worrisome. Can you help me out?
No, I'm not worried, Grimes, in the sense that I'm going to hit the panic button, but I do think there is some nuance to this conversation because Tom Brady is so great at being able to set the agenda for the team in terms of what they need to be working on, the sense of urgency that they need to have, establishing that tone. I think this is an early test for Todd Bowles because when he had his first opportunity as a head coach with the New York Jets, it didn't go so well in his tenure there. And so now this is a new opportunity. You're talking about, having a new hat that he's got to wear on top of being a defensive play caller. I'm interested to see how Todd Bowles sets the agenda for the team in terms of being able to create that sense of urgency and what those guys need to be working on and game planning preparing for week one. Because contrary to popular belief, the game planning for week one doesn't start once the preseason is over. They're actually doing that right now, and they're working on some of the things that they're going to be throwing at the Dallas Cowboys 3 weeks from now. So I'm sitting here looking at this situation and saying, this is something that's going to give us some insight as to what kind of head coach Todd Bowles is going to be his second time around with the Tampa Bay Bucks.
All right. Tim, I can't just get to the point where in my head I feel like this is all going to be fine. Like, there's some change going on there, right? There's changes on the offensive line. He lost his center just a couple of weeks ago. I mean, there would be some not just tone setting, but actual football-related value to him being there these next couple weeks, right?
Now, listen, to say that there's no impact means that practice doesn't matter at all,
right.
Which
thank you.
Which we don't – I don't think anyone here believes is the case. I think that when you hear somebody's going to be out, somebody with his experience, you say, okay, well, like, is he going to be prepared for the season? I think we all would agree Brady's going to be fine. And there certainly would never be in an environment where a player who's played as long as Brady's played, where there would be some type of resentment from other players in the locker room that a guy isn't there. I think that where it can show up, and I know that's why you have the graphic of the start of the season and the challenge that they face playing good football teams at the beginning of the year, is, okay, well, what happens? Like, Julio's new. The offensive line is new. So what happens in a game where, as you say, the margins are small and it comes down to making one more third down, getting in field goal range before the half? Like, could it rear its head in that way? Damn, yeah, it most certainly could. But I think if you're Todd Bowles, and I think this is part of what Chris is referring to, if Tom Brady wants 10 days off in the middle of training camp, which it sounds like this was somewhat scheduled, you know what you do? You give Tom Brady 10 days off and you ask him if he needs four more. I mean, that's what you do with Tom Brady.
I guess that is true. I mean, that is the deal that you make when you have Brady as your quarterback. This stage, and look, we all could have gone broke multiple times over underestimating Tom Brady over the past couple decades. So it probably is fine. It just feels a little strange to me. We'll talk about this a lot more. I want to move on now to our game we call Can He or Can't He? Chris Canty, we're going to fire a couple questions at you, and you tell me what you think. Can Dallas linebacker Micah Parsons win the MVP award this season?
He can't, Groz. And listen, the last time a non-quarterback won MVP was 2012 with Adrian Peterson. The last time a defensive player won it was 1986 with Lawrence Taylor. Now, listen, I think Micah Parsons is the second coming of LT, but I just don't know if he can do enough in today's game that can justify him getting the award over one of those signal callers.
That is high, high praise. We'll see what happens there. Can Carson Wentz resurrect his career in Washington?
He can't, Groz. I don't believe in Wentz. I think the wheels have come off on the Wentz wagon. He had the team that drafted him, that gave up a lot of draft capital to get him, and the Philadelphia Eagles give up on him. His offensive coordinator, Frank Reich, who was the head coach with the Colts, gave up on him after giving over a first-round pick to get him with the Eagles. I just don't think it's going to go any different with the Washington Commanders, a team that hasn't had a winning record since 2016.
One more for you. Can Patrick Mahomes lead the Chiefs to the Super Bowl this season?
Absolutely, Groz, he can. And listen, the floor for Patrick Mahomes' quarterback teams is the AFC Championship game. So why would we not think he has an opportunity to get the Kansas City Chiefs there this year? Just seems like the guy, all he does is win.
Yeah, that was an easy one. We gave an easy one to end on, so that's fine. Patrick Mahomes obviously can get to the Super Bowl. And yesterday, he spoke about he's going to play in the Chiefs preseason opener, said he wants to. And yesterday, he was asked about why and about the new additions to the Chiefs offense. And here's a little bit of what he had to say.
It'll be good to get in there with the new group of receivers that we have, all the running backs, and kind of show how we do it in the game, because obviously we're doing it here at practice, but to show how we do it in the game before that first game against Arizona, who's a great opponent, I think will be good for us.
All right. Look, Canty, I know you said that he can get them to the Super Bowl, but the rest of the AFC has gotten a lot better over this offseason and the last couple of years. There are some challengers champing at the bit to get after the Chiefs. Is this the year that their dominance of the conference comes to an end?
No, their dominance in the conference doesn't come to an end. I think there are a lot of teams that have closed the gap. You look at the Buffalo Bills. You look at what the Chargers did this offseason, the Raiders, and the Denver Broncos. So there are a lot of teams that are going to be right there. But I do think because you have the marriage of Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid and then Eric Bieniemy drawing up the X's and O's, that they will figure out a way to have a highly productive offense. And listen, guys, the Kansas City Chiefs with Mahomes, they score on about half of their drives. That's among the best offenses in NFL history. I mean, if you want to go back to the greatest show on turf, that's the territory that the Kansas City Chiefs are in. I think we're going into a stretch where we're going to see the Chiefs be as dominant as the Patriots were in the 2010s. We're talking about 8 straight conference championship game appearances. They've got 4 under their belt already. I look at Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid as the guys that are going to keep it rolling.
Yeah, very interesting. Tim, do you agree, or do you think the rest of the AFC finally catches up with Mahomes and the Chiefs?
Well, Well, I agree with a lot of what Chris just said about it, because I think sometimes when we talk about these teams, like, we leave head coach out of it. You know, like, hey, Russell Wilson's in Denver, that's great. But, right. like, you know, Nathaniel Hackett doesn't have the same type of, you know, success and track record as a head coach as Andy Reid does. So I think that – and you can do the same thing across the board with the rest of the coaches in the AFC West. And so I think you do have to give a lot of credence to that. Now, that being said – look, I think that as we have seen these teams get better, I don't have any questions about what Kansas City will do on offense. If they score on more than half of their possessions this year, wouldn't surprise me one bit. The bigger concern for me is, what does their defense do against some of these other offenses in the AFC that are also really good? So, like, what, you know, whether it's Buffalo, as we saw in the playoffs a year ago, whether it's teams in their division who I think will be significantly better on the offensive side of the ball.
What do you think, Mike T?
Two words, Justin Herbert. And taking nothing away from Kansas City, Justin Herbert could stand toe-to-toe with this Kansas City offense, and they are absolutely loaded on both sides of the ball. And while Kansas City lost a great player, Tyreek Hill, the Chargers added Khalil Mack, J.C. Jackson, and this guy right here is going to be the league MVP. Ooh. And when you look at their weapons, they're just as good as what the Chiefs had, and taking nothing away from the Hall of Famer Andy Reid, the future Hall of Famer Patrick Mahomes, this is the year that Justin Herbert gets over the hump and takes the Chargers to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that crew around Mahomes is, there's a lot of new to that this year. What are you hearing about that?
Well, one name that's buzzing a little bit recently is Juju Smith-Schuster. Remember, former Pro Bowler? He's finally healthy for the first time in 2 years, developing chemistry with Patrick Mahomes. Marquez Valdes-Scantling had a really good chemistry with Mahomes dating back to the spring. They like Sky Moore. Started slowly in camp, I heard, but he's come on of late. And so it's going to be an equal opportunity offense. Talking to people around the league, they say the Chiefs can still be great. They're just going to have to work a little bit harder to get there because Tyreek Hill's not opening those passing lanes.
Now, puzzles for Mahomes and Andy Reid to figure it out, but obviously these guys are the best at what they do, and it's likely, possible, even likely, that they do figure it out. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, the return of live-action football means the return of former players on our show complaining about the taunting rule. So here you go. Chris Canty and Tim Hasselbeck, Aaron Robinson of the Giants called for taunting on this play. Chris, what'd you think?
I didn't think it deserved the taunting call, Gross. I mean, the guy is putting his arms out saying incomplete pass, and it just doesn't feel like this is a situation where he was jawing enough to warrant a 15-yard penalty. I just don't see it.
It is not his job to call the pass incomplete. There's an official there to do that. I don't understand. Tim, what do you think?
That is true, Graz. There is a guy that's job is to call it a complete. I have no problem. I hope that it was thrown because, like, he said something super offensive. Because, like the action I'm seeing, to me, does not warrant a taunting flag. And if he just said, like, I don't know, like, something.
Yeah, yeah, you don't have to give an example.
This, I actually have a problem with this. Listen, defense is hard, okay? Like, I was expecting Canty to go much harder on this. Defense is hard. Being a DB is brutal. Like, sometimes they practice in boxing gloves to keep guys from holding because they just want to call it all the time in games. Look, the reality is like, that's too much. I can't.
It was a particularly rough series for Aaron Robinson that he was having there. So maybe he's blowing off steam. We come back. Are Russell Wilson's best days ahead of him or behind him? Will Russ lead the Broncos back to the playoffs? Plus, we'll tell you the mistake that Jerry Jones made that could cost the Cowboys big time this season. And speaking of the Cowboys, we got a little sneaky Hembo time, and apparently this one is, again, for me to answer. Hembo making me juggle multiple duties here a couple days in a row. What was the last team to have the number one scoring offense in consecutive seasons? I said speaking of the Cowboys because they had it last year. I'm going to think on this, and I'm going to get back to you after the break.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump,
a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, we're back with Sneaky Hembo. I was telling Hembo in the break, I think I know this one. It's one of those where, like, I know this team did it, but I don't know if they were the last ones to do it. Last NFL team. I remember there were Drew Brees Saints teams that did this right around the time they won their Super Bowl with Drew Brees and Sean Payton in New Orleans. So I'm going to guess the New Orleans Saints. I'm going to be right. And Hembo's over there. He's going to be miserable and sad and down by how many now? I don't understand. What's the scoreboard going to say here? Down by five? Down by five. And he's saying, wow. Shut up. He gets very mean and salty when he starts to lose. So we'll continue to follow how that goes. Meanwhile, if you've been watching this week, you've seen this before, but we frankly cannot get enough of this. Tim Hasselbeck.
I won the conference.
What do you think is Mike Tannenbaum trying to field a punt? What are your thoughts here on Mike T's skills as a punt returner?
My weekend is already made right now. Because not only does he not catch it, okay, it knocks him over. His shirt gets flipped up. Like, I mean, everything about this makes me happy. If somebody could please clip this off and send it to me anytime I'm feeling bad about myself, I'm going to watch that.
I'm not exaggerating. I feel like I've watched it 200 times over the last 3 days, and it makes me laugh every single time.
And for the 200th time, I have to set the record straight. I won the competition against Rex and his buddy. I dropped that one, but we rallied. Rex paid the producer. It's going to live in infamy. I did drop the ball.
So this is recreated, though, by the way. We need to recreate this and get the visor off.
That could be dangerous, actually. We don't have the grass in here. But we like this so much, we created a segment called Who Dropped the Ball for Mike Tannenbaum. This is about we're going to look back on some decisions and see who got them wrong. So, Mike T, start off with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay.
So not only did I, but Aaron Rodgers, you dropped the ball. You took way too long to get your contract done, and because of it, you lost your buddy, Davante Adams, to the Raiders. And if you got your deal done sooner, you'd have the best receiver as your teammate.
Well, who else dropped the ball? How about the Ravens?
The Baltimore Ravens, they dropped the ball. Lamar Jackson's contract extension, they waited too long, and Deshaun Watson got a massive contract for $230 million guaranteed. Kyler Murray got his deal done. All Lamar Jackson's price is doing is going up, up, and up. They dropped the ball by waiting. And then lastly, Dallas Cowboys and Jerry Jones, you dropped the ball a couple of years ago when you gave Zeke Elliott a massive extension in 2019 because the ramifications of that decision came home to roost this year when you couldn't afford to keep Amari Cooper at a very reasonable $20 million a year. And Zeke Elliott would still be under contract. They could have franchised him. And having Amari Cooper would have made this Dallas Cowboy offense a lot better.
Who dropped the ball? We got that off of that one video. Isn't that great? A whole segment.
It is great.
It's fantastic. I mean, that is.
And I won the competition.
Morning
just for
sports
the
television at its absolute finest. Let's talk Cowboys, though. Jeremy, what are you hearing around the league about this Cowboys offense and the expectations?
So Dan, I asked around. I got this great quote from a scout. They said, they are very good. They're going to put up points, but they don't scare you like they're really good teams. You don't go into a game against an Aaron Rodgers or even a Lamar Jackson and say, this guy is going to ruin my day. Like, they're going to move the ball and be okay, but, you know, they're not going to kill you. Like, Hembo gave me a great stat here against top 10 defenses. Cowboys last year, 2-4, 22 points per game. So very pedestrian against good teams. So CeeDee Lamb, though, is poised for a breakout. Asking people to run the league, they believe he can be a top 10 receiver. Outside of that, though, gets a little dicey.
All right, Chris Canty, I want to ask you about your level of concern about this Dallas Cowboys offense, because I see your Cowboys jersey hanging up behind you. So I assume you're excited about this year's team or what?
No, I'm a little more pessimistic than other people are around the National Football League and other Cowboys fans. And here's why. You're talking about this offense being the most penalized offense in the National Football League from a year ago. They got to clean a lot of that stuff up. I don't see this offense being able to overcome those self-inflicting wounds like they could a year ago on their way to being the number one scoring offense in the NFL. You lost Connor Williams. You lost Lyle Collins. You lost Cedric Wilson. You lost Amari Cooper. You are not a more talented talented offense in 2022 than you were in 2021. So if you add on top of that the fact that this is a highly penalized team and those things usually don't get cleaned up, that becomes your personality, you're talking about the Dallas Cowboys having to overcome a lot of adverse circumstances in order to put together drives to score points. I just don't see it happening.
Tim, what do you think about this year's Cowboys offense?
You know, I'm not as concerned as it sounds like everybody else is. Look, Dak Prescott's coming off of probably what was his best year. And when you think about, what he endured to even get to the season to play last year, I think the fact that you have a healthy Dak that is participating in training camp and is going to be ready to go, I think that helps. Quite honestly, I think it helps a lot on the penalty front. I also think it just helps the team in general. In terms of, the loss of Amari Cooper, that's significant. But that being said, like, I think CeeDee Lamb is going to open a lot of eyes. I think he can be a true number one. And I think in terms of the run game, look, Tony Pollard was averaging about 5.5 yards per carry a year ago. Ezekiel Elliott, even though it was a down year, still had over 1,000 yards. And I think he'll be a motivated player with Pollard, really on his heels in getting some of the workload. So, do I think they're going to be the best offense in the NFL? No. But I do not think they are going to be an easy offense to defend. And I think Dak Prescott has another very good year.
And just to add to that, Tim, Pollard and Zeke were only on the field together 43 times. I think one of the ways this offense can evolve is to put Tony Pollard in the slot and put them on the field together. So, until James Washington and Micah Gallup comes back, this will be a work in progress. But I think Tony Pollard's a big X factor for them.
Obviously, we'll keep a close eye on the Cowboys. Jeremy Fowler's been keeping a close eye on a lot of teams. Look at Jeremy out on his camp tour, leading the pack of quarterbacks around the country on a camp tour. Jeremy, I saw you in Cincinnati on my camp tour. What'd you learn there?
Yes, you did. I got my flashlight. I got my bag of snacks ready to go for my camp tour. Joe Burrow, I'm told the Bengals, their main concern is getting his weight up. You tend to lose a little bit of weight after an appendectomy surgery, and so they've been giving him protein shakes. He was eating a banana on the sidelines the day we were there, so that's the main concern. No real issue about week one. Tell the head coach, Zach Taylor, he said, look, we got 30-plus days for game day. Joe Burrow should be fine. Buffalo Bills, I talked to Josh Allen on my camp trip. He told me that he, quote, absolutely plans to take more ownership than ever in the Bills offense, in part because he's been in it for 5 years now, same offense between Brian Daboll and new coordinator Ken Dorsey. But the Bills have noticed that when he's really playing well, he's in full command, making changes, changing plays, audibles, protections, figuring the whole thing out up front of the line of scrimmage. So Allen will be looking to do even more of that in the future. Let's go to the Pittsburgh Steelers here. Mitchell Trubisky has a pretty clear lead on the quarterback job. From my understanding is he would have to really drop the ball over the next 3 weeks to lose it. Got a pretty firm grip of it right now, but I'm told Mason Rudolph has had the best camp he's ever had as a Pittsburgh Steeler. So he's coming in, throwing the ball, he's been accurate. And so Kenny Pickett right now is sort of the stash option. He's coming along a little bit, but Trubisky, they're excited about him. I talked to running back Najee Harris. He told me that Trubisky's underrated league-wide, that he can really come in and surprise some people this year.
All right, we come back. Daniel Jones of the Giants took some big hits last night in the preseason game in Foxborough. Some of our guys are concerned. We're going to talk about it when Get Up returns.